Have you ever had a moment so painfully lonely it forced you to completely reinvent yourself? Picture a Friday night in winter 2017. Lauren Keenan, freshly separated and desperately seeking connection, sends out invitation after invitation. The responses trickle in. No, no, no. 27 rejections in total. She ends up alone in a movie theater, that cruel inner voice whispering she's a friendless loser. But here's where her story pivots from tragedy to transformation. Instead of sinking deeper into despair, she makes a radical decision. Commit to 52 new experiences in 52 weeks. Not bucket list adventures or Instagram-worthy stunts, but genuine attempts to rebuild a life that had crumbled along with her marriage. What makes this journey so compelling isn't the activities themselves, it's the raw honesty about why she needed them. When life's script turns terrible, sometimes the only option is to write yourself a new one, one uncomfortable week at a time. At 15, Lauren was voted the third ugliest person at her school. That teenage verdict shaped the next 25 years. She became the smart girl, the funny one with self-deprecating humor, always available to hear boys pine for her prettier friends. For decades, she dressed conservatively to avoid notice, hid behind glasses, wore minimal makeup. Adult acne devastated what little confidence remained. After having children, she used comfort and practicality as excuses, but was really hiding from attention. During her year of new things, she finally confronted these wounds. Professional makeovers, her first manicure, evolving from shy coral to electric blue, false eyelashes, bright red lipstick, color analysis revealing her wardrobe had been holding her back. The transformation wasn't about vanity, it was about reclaiming space in the world. By year's end, she stopped apologizing for existing. Mountain biking, dragon boating until her arms burned, bouldering without a harness, making her feel like a suburban mom version of Spider-Man in Kmart activewear. These weren't about fitness goals. They were about discovering her body could do remarkable things. The push-up competition became her Everest. Push-ups are brutally difficult, especially for women with larger chests. She trained seriously, transforming her upper body strength. On competition day, motivated by a cheering audience and eye of the tiger, she surpassed every previous attempt. Afterward, she could barely feed herself, but she felt triumphant. This newfound strength transferred unexpectedly. During archery, when an old man suggested she lacked muscle after her first arrow missed, she narrowed her eyes, tried again, and hit dead center. Through these physical challenges, she discovered a truth. Our bodies aren't just vessels for our brains. They're sources of power, confidence, and joy. When you realize you can climb walls and hit targets, you start believing you can do other impossible things too. We check our phones nearly 50 times daily, tapping over 2,600 times. Many would sooner give up chocolate or caffeine than their phones for a week. But what are we actually gaining? During a helicopter ride over Wellington, Lauren obsessively photographed the view until her battery died. Initially devastated, she then looked out the window with her actual eyes, creating a genuine memory rather than just digital proof. Without that dead battery, she'd have more photos, but fewer real memories. Social media triggered her anxiety, the constant obligation to respond, that green online dot when people read but didn't reply. After a particularly upsetting exchange, she detoxed. The withdrawal was intense, reflexively checking her phone, worrying about missed messages, accidentally reactivating her account. But the benefits were substantial. More writing, better sleep, improved parenting, reduced anxiety. She wrote handwritten letters daily, rediscovering the joy of recognizing a friend's handwriting. When she returned after 2 weeks, she had better boundaries and more mindful usage. Technology isn't inherently good or bad. It's about using it intentionally rather than letting it use you. Popular culture sells the dopamine rush of early romance while ignoring what follows. Lauren married Alan at 27 with teenage expectations intact, but reality looked different. Her happiness peaked around year 5, then challenges emerged. Feeling ignored, parenting disagreements, resentment over mental load, mismatched libidos. Children complicated everything. Sleep vanished, priorities shifted, couples focused on differences rather than common ground. During her year of new things, a tarot reader draws the death card for her relationship. Though alarmed, Lauren learns it signals transformation, not ending. Like flipping a coin to reveal true desires, the card helps her recognize she wants to stay. Their 11th anniversary looks nothing like their first romantic Paris trip, just horseback riding with the kids. Her horse bites another horse, nothing goes perfectly. But sharing the experience with their children creates a different kind of intimacy. The dopamine rush is gone, but their relationship has evolved into something real. Being called a part-time mom cuts deep. Some attempts to compensate succeed. The planetarium, where Jack asks thoughtful questions about planets and amusing ones about bodily functions in space. Others fail. Her balloon animals resemble inflated condoms with eyes. Her first child-free holiday becomes revelatory. She relishes the clean hotel room, napping when desired, wandering alone, feeling her essence return. Following her tarot reader's advice, she becomes a full-time stay-at-home mother. Her children are thrilled, Dala repeatedly asking to sit with her on the bus, Jack proudly announcing, "That's my mom." But being home full-time has challenges, becoming over-invested in housework, neglecting personal grooming, craving adult conversation. Through keeping a gratitude journal, she realizes quality time matters more than quantity. After a couple of months, she returns to work. The lesson isn't about choosing work or home. It's recognizing that being a good mother doesn't require sacrificing your entire identity. Sometimes the greatest love isn't the one that makes your heart race, it's the one that makes you want to stay when the racing stops. Loneliness doesn't announce itself. It nibbles at the edges before consuming your core. It's as harmful as obesity or smoking 15 cigarettes daily, yet admitting it feels embarrassing, despite affecting 15 to 30% of the population. Making new friends requires proximity and unplanned interactions, conditions increasingly rare in adulthood. Lauren's project became an opportunity to connect differently. By asking about hobbies, she learned about beekeeping, met a giant pet lizard, saw competitive sides emerge during go-karting. These activities revealed our situational versatility, how context shapes who we become. Healing never happens in a straight line. Despite her progress, an awkward encounter with a former friend left her questioning everything. One Sunday, she broke down completely, wailing, ugly crying for an hour straight. Yet after this emotional release, things felt different, like a balloon that had finally popped. With only 4 new things left, she no longer cared about the challenge. She preferred quiet evenings at home and solitude that no longer felt like loneliness. Sometimes the cure for loneliness isn't more connection, it's learning to be comfortable in your own company again. Lauren had always believed, if you can't laugh at yourself, you might be missing the best joke in the room. An overnight hike became a comedy of errors. Scrambling over tree roots, moon-sized blisters from bringing books instead of spare shoes, a stranger firing a gun into the wilderness. They fled through a downpour and reached their car to find the window smashed. Despite the misery, they chose laughter, remembering the joy more than the hardships. For her final new thing, Lauren faced her greatest fear, stand-up comedy. "I was terrified of looking like a dick in public," she admits. She performed her story about discovering her boyfriend was gay. Despite her panic, the experience was amazing, though the audience didn't laugh at her intended punchline. She realized she'd been telling a sad story as comedy without processing the underlying pain. Sometimes laughing at trauma prevents healing. After the year ended, Lauren returned to conquer the 13-meter freefall she'd been too scared to attempt. Despite the terror, she closed her eyes and fell. What began as a desperate escape from loneliness transformed into a journey touching thousands. Her greatest discovery? Realizing she was capable of so much more than she'd imagined. Your transformation doesn't require 52 weeks. just one moment of deciding this chapter needs rewriting, and the courage to pick up the pen.